Okay, we all had a good break. Good. I'm going to start by praying. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us, God. We have seen such an outpouring of your goodness already this week. And I pray for each one of us, Father, that as we continue to hear your words, that our hearts are prepared to see how good you really are, how faithful you are, how true you are, and how powerful your word truly is. And I pray, Father, that we have ears to hear and thank you, Father, for giving us this word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Tom and Josh, thank you both very much for asking me to be a part of this. I have never personally spent this much condensed time reading through the Old Testament prophets. And I say condensed because it kind of gets to this point where you're like, this is all I'm reading about. And then you're like, I need some Ephesians. But we, you know, in spending this time throughout these scriptures, where these prophecies are words of woe and they are words of destruction, they are words of judgment. Because they come from our God, who is pure, who is true, who is powerful, who is just, we still see his mercy and his goodness throughout these words. I want to keep that in mind as we continue on here this morning. We are going to start in 2 Chronicles 36, and we're going to reread just two verses that we've already read a couple of times. I really appreciated what Tom said the first night, not about something spiritual so much, but that these thin-paged Bible, I keep like shuffling through. I can't find anything in my new Bible here. So, but we are going to go to 2 Chronicles, and I'm just kidding. I appreciated all the spiritual things that Tom said the first night. So the end of Chronicles, we have this summation of the closing out of Judah. It is heartbreaking. I mean, really, allow these words to rip apart your heart. This is God's people. And what he says here in chapter 36, in verse 14, it says, "Furthermore, all the leaders of the priests and the people became more and more unfaithful, following all the detestable practices of the nations and defiling the temple of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem." This was the state of the people more and more. "The Lord," verse 15, "the God of their ancestors sent word to them through his messengers again and again because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy." God's judgment was not poured out without mercy. He had waited. He sent his messengers again and again, and people, we have been reading this, and we have been seeing this, and if you would ever be so inclined to take the time to read through these Old Testament prophecies, Amos, and oh my goodness, it comes up in so many of them, Deuteronomy we've read about, there's other prophets prophesying at this time, Habakkuk and Zephaniah, Micah, is not the same time, but all these prophecies that told the people, this is what is going to happen. What the Lord requires of you is a heart of obedience, a heart to hear his words. And if you continue in this way and you continue to seek your own path, it will be destruction to you. And as Claire so beautifully pointed out, that's not God being mean. That is God's love. That is his mercy. His desire for his people has always been blessing. And so he sent his word again and again. God sent his word. The people refused this again and again until there was no remedy. And that's where we pick up the story now, because with Jehoiakim, with his reign ending, we have Jehoiachin come to power, if you want to say that. He's placed on the throne for a whopping 3 months and 10 days. I really like how specific that is. Nebuchadnezzar comes, takes him at God's word. God was very clear that this was going to happen to Jehoiachin. And we have Jeremiah 24, and we're going to go there. Because that's what we have in the end of Jehoiakim's reign. The word of God, it's this, like, just hear it. And Jehoiakim says, I think I will burn it. And this was the leader of the people. This was the leader of God's people, was taking God's word and saying, no. There was no remedy. And so now we have Nebuchadnezzar come in. And he starts by removing Jehoiachin, the royal household, the queen mother, just starts deporting people. And Jeremiah receives this vision in chapter 24. You guys are all there. And it says, after Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the officials, the skilled workers and the artisans of Judah were carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Lord showed me two baskets of figs placed in front of the temple of the Lord. One basket had very good figs, like those that ripen early. The other basket had very bad figs, so bad they could not be eaten. Then the Lord asked me, what do you see, Jeremiah? Figs, I answered. I really love Jeremiah's responses. He's like never like, I see really good. He's like, I see figs. God's like, I can work with this guy. Figs, I answered. The good ones are very good. That's what he saw. And the bad ones are so bad they can't be eaten. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Like these good figs, I regard as good the exiles from Judah whom I sent away from this place to the land of the Babylonians. Does God say here that these figs had done good or were good? He says he was going to regard them as good. This is, I believe this is a very important point. And we're going to see later on that it's not that these people had necessarily listened to God either. But remember I said we were still going to see God's mercy. We're still going to see his goodness, even in this beginning of judgment against the house of Israel. God had made other promises throughout his word, right? We have a promise of a Christ coming out of the line of David. God can't completely wipe out his people. We have to have the Christ come through here. He's a faithful God. His word is faithful for all generations. This Jehoiachin had to be removed so that God's promises could endure. God is always God, even in his wrath. He's just. He maintains his word, and he accomplishes his word. All right, so verse 6, it says, my eyes will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. God speaks here that they will be his people. These should have already been his people. But he says they will be his people. And he's going to give them a heart to know him, that he is the Lord. He is Jehovah. All things that they would need. No idolatry. And he says, they will return to me with their heart. This wasn't going to be a one-sided thing. They were going to return. But like the bad figs, which are so bad they cannot be eaten, says the Lord, so will I deal with Zedekiah, king of Judah, his officials, and the survivors from Jerusalem, whether they remain in this land or live in Egypt. Okay, at this moment, if you're going, wait, who's Zedekiah? Jehoiachin was removed. Well, we still need a king here in Judah. And so Nebuchadnezzar places the third of Josiah's sons on the throne and changes his name to Zedekiah. So he is now the king here in Jerusalem. But God's pronouncement against Zedekiah is, no, this is going to be bad figs. So buckle your seatbelts, because God's word is true. It says, so will I deal with Zedekiah, king of Judah, his officials, and the survivors from Jerusalem, whether they remain in this land or live in Egypt. Because maybe they're going to decide to run away from God and run away from all that he's doing. God's still going to be aware of where they are and what they're doing. And he says, I will make them abhorrent and an offense to all the kingdoms of the earth, a reproach and a byword, a curse and an object of ridicule. Wherever I banish them, I will send the sword, famine, and plague against them until they are destroyed from the land I gave to them and their ancestors. Let's keep in mind here, this prophecy, all we have recorded in God's word is that this was something that God showed Jeremiah at this time. He is not told specifically in this record to go speak this out to the people. There is a time coming when he is going to reveal more of this prophecy to the people, and there will be a choice involved. But at this moment, God is showing Jeremiah, his man, his prophet, who has been speaking faithfully for many years at this point, what is now happening. Where has the plan gone? Jehoiakim has refused the word from God. This is what's happening now. And God reveals this, and he says, I'm going to treat this remnant like good figs. These guys that remain, this is going to be bad figs. And it's not God saying, just hold off, because remember, our God is, he's faithful, he's true, he's just, he's all these things we know. And this judgment was extremely just. That does not mean that Zedekiah is not going to have God's word spoken to him, but he is not going to choose to obey it. And we see that. At this time in the storyline, around this time, two letters are written from Jeremiah that are sent to Babylon. One is addressed to the exiles, and one is actually to be read out to Babylon and then cast into the river with a stone so that it would sink to the bottom. I think what we're going to do is we're going to read the letter to the Babylonian, to Babylon. It's not even the Babylonian, it's to Babylon. Let's read that one first, because we're only going to read a couple verses about that. Because keep in mind, these were God's people, and Babylon is now being sent to destroy God's people. That was just. They had been given every opportunity and then more to change, and they had refused it. But that does not actually excuse Babylon from what she's about to do to God's people. And this letter was written around this same time, you know, in the first few years of Zedekiah's reign. And so in chapter 51, go to verse 49. This letter, I believe, is actually chapters 50 and 51. It's pretty extensive. In verse 49, it says, Babylon must fall because of Israel's slain, just as the slain in all the earth have fallen because of Babylon. Babylon was getting ready to more or less take over the whole world, you know, the known regions at this time. God's pronouncement on that is that blood's going to be required of them, even though they were being allowed to do this at this point. Go to verse 54. The sound of a cry comes from Babylon, the sound of great destruction from the land of the Babylonians. The Lord will destroy Babylon. He will silence her noisy din. Waves of enemies will rage like great waters. The roar of their voices will resound. A destroyer will come against Babylon. Her warriors will be captured and their bows will be broken. Go to verse 59. This is the message. What we just read was like a little taste of this message. But this is the message Jeremiah the prophet gave to the staff officer Seraiah, son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went to Babylon with Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year of his reign. Jeremiah had written on a scroll all about the disasters that would come upon Babylon, all that had been recorded concerning Babylon. He said to Seraiah, when you get to Babylon, see that you read all these words aloud. So if you ever think that what God has given you to do is difficult, these are words that was given to this man to go read out loud to the kingdom that was conquering your kingdom and everyone around you. And he's going to read this out loud. And then say, Lord, you have said you will destroy this place so that neither people nor animals will live in it. It will be desolate forever. When you finish reading this scroll, tie a stone to it and throw it into the Euphrates. And then say, so will Babylon sink to rise no more because of the disaster I will bring on her, and her people will fall. God's plans are for his people. His plans are also for other things going on in the world. At this moment, Babylon was the instrument of judgment and destruction that was coming down on Israel because of Israel's refusal to turn their hearts to God. But God is just. He is still God. He's still God Almighty. And he's saying, okay, Babylon, though, you're not without excuse here. You are without excuse here, and there is going to be judgment on you as well. So you can keep that in your mind. This was happening at the same time. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we have the letter that was written to the exiles. We were just talking about this during the break. I don't know if anybody else ever had this experience, but growing up, or at some point when you begin to read things in the Old Testament and stuff like that, you kind of have like a Old Testament history going in your brain, and then like all the stuff you've learned at school, history going in your brain, and you never really think about how they actually, like, all these scriptural things were happening in real time. Like, there was actual stuff going on in the world and other nations and the nations that came in that show up within the scriptures. I mean, these were, you know, this is the history of the world. You know, you think about, you have Nebuchadnezzar coming in and beginning to take over all of these different countries. Egypt has been subdued. You know, the Assyrians, where are they in all this? You know, and then, so now we've got Babylon, and they're making more and more of a name for themselves. What are all these countries around thinking? These smaller, where they're like, ooh, I don't really want Babylon to take us over. Maybe we should start to revolt. Maybe we should stand up. Maybe we should get together. What about the exiles that have been taken to Babylon? These were God's people. They shouldn't have been exiled. Maybe they should stand up and revolt. Ooh, that's not God's plan right now. So we have this letter to the exiles, and I believe that part of this is to address that. Because God had a plan for his people, and for them to get to be blessed in it, they were going to have to go by his word. Again, that's pretty much always the MO. We go by God's word. What does obedience look like? You hear it and you do it. In chapter 29, this is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So was there anyone that this wasn't written to? This is everyone. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Well, I thought Nebuchadnezzar carried them. This letter says, I carried them. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. You can probably get all that done in like 5 days, right? And then get back to Jerusalem. Has anyone ever planted a garden? Has anyone ever married a child? I haven't, but I'm guessing it took me a few years to get married from the time I was born. So this is God's exhortation. Settle down. Build a house. Plant a garden and eat what that garden produces. Have your children get married to one another. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Whoa. But we have words that God is going to destroy Babylon. But that wasn't yet. His words to his people for now are, you seek the peace and prosperity of wherever I have sent you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. I thought prophets were good. I thought God sent his word again and again. Well, he did, but they refused those prophets. These were the prophets the people were encouraging. This was the dreams the people wanted these prophets to have. And these prophets were more than happy to stand up and say, I'll speak on behalf of God. Keep your finger here. We're going to just go back a couple chapters to chapter 23. Look in verse 23. Am I only a God nearby? Declares the Lord. Actually, let's start. We're going to read verse 16 real quick. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. Well, this should be an indicator then to us that these were not from God. What's God's words for this time? It's judgment. It's you're going to Babylon. You're going to be there for a while. A couple generations at least, because you're going to marry off your sons and daughters. They're going to increase. That's at least two generations. These false prophets were filling them with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their own hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. this scripture was being spoken at this time, if that makes sense. I'm sorry. Jeremiah was receiving words from God and writing it down during this time. But this time had been foretold. I kind of listed off a few of the places that it comes up before we really even got into things here today. God's words were that this destruction was coming. And Jeremiah had been prophesying for 23 years, at least, more at this point, that this destruction was going to happen. If somebody comes to you and says, by the way, God actually said this isn't going to happen, isn't that easier? Can you not hear that that's false? Do you have no responsibility there to say that is not from my God? God is revealing here, stop listening. Go down to verse 23. It says, am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? You really love this verse because then you read, God is a God nearby. And then I was like, God's not far away. Oh, wait, it keeps going. Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them? Declares the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. A God nearby would only see this much. Oh, maybe I can't hear you prophesying over here. Maybe I have no idea what your sin is over here. No, our God is also a God far away who sees. He fills heaven and earth. I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream. I had a dream. How long will these continue? This continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds. They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. What has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord. Do you know what straw has to do with grain? We're not farmers. This one I had to think about and ask God. We don't eat straw. That's right. Bethany said it for the record. Straw is the part of the grain that you remove, and it's worthless. Straw is the garbage that we buy to decorate our houses at harvest time. And people say things like, horses eat straw. Horses do not eat straw. You cannot eat straw. It's worthless. It's destroyed. It's vain. It is quite literally empty. If you pick up straw, you have a straw. It's hollow on the inside. If you're like, I'm really hungry, let me bite this straw. You're going to be just as hungry and then feel very foolish. And were you to actually swallow that, I don't even know what would happen inside you. What has straw to do with grain? Can you not tell the difference? Can you not tell my words from the lying prophets who are deceiving you with their garbage dreams that you are encouraging them to have? These are the words from our God to his people. Let them be the words to us as well. Can we not tell what God's words are? Can we not tell the straw from the grain? God says, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord. And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Is God's word empty? Is it worthless and meant to be thrown away or cast aside because you would like somebody to speak something nicer to you? God's word is the fire. It is the rock. It is the hammer, sorry, that breaks the rock to pieces. Go back to chapter 29. We were in verse 10. Actually, verse 9, they are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. This is God's words. They were running to the false prophets for good things to hear. And yet this is what God was promising. Yes, now is a time of destruction and woe, but God's promise to his people is good. And he says, I will bring you back. There is no revolt. There's no foolish trying to work against God's promises or God's purposes here with Nebuchadnezzar. Stop that. Do what God has laid out. Build your houses. Settle down. Seek the peace and prosperity, because at the right time, God is going to bring them back. That is not a false promise. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Have we not heard these words already this week? Have we not heard the words from Deuteronomy? At the onset of God's forming his nation and saying, I am going to be your God. And when you turn away from me and you do all these detestable things and I banish you to all these nations, I am going to be the one that brings you back when your hearts turn. And he says it again here. These are the words to the exiles. This is the grain. This is what they can eat. This is what they will live on for the next 70 years. It's God's beautiful promise that he is going to fulfill. You may say, verse 15, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. Well, the Lord was going to raise up at least one prophet that we're going to read about. This, I believe, is really just talking about those false prophets and the things that they were saying. And, you know, the people going, oh, no, it's good. The Lord raised up prophets for us in Babylon. We're fine. We don't need your letter, Jeremiah, and all of your... But, verse 16, this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all the people who remain in this city. Talking about Jerusalem. Your fellow citizens who did not go with you into exile. Oh, you think it's time to come back to Jerusalem? You want to start a revolution and make your way back here right now? This is what God has to say about everyone that didn't go into exile. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will send the sword, famine, and plague against them. And I will make them like figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with the sword, famine, and plague, and will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth, a curse and an object of horror, of scorn and reproach among all the nations where I drive them, for they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord. Words that I sent to them again and again by my servants, the prophets. And you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says about Ahab, son of Kaliah, and Zedekiah, son of Messiah, who are prophesying lies to you in my name. I will deliver them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will put them to death before your very eyes. Because of them, all the exiles from Judah who are in Babylon will use this curse. May the Lord treat you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon burned in the fire. For they have done outrageous things in Israel. They have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and in my name they have uttered lies, which I did not authorize. I know it and am witness to it, declares the Lord. Remember that? Is he a God that's only nearby? Is he only in Jerusalem and he has no idea what's happening over here? Is he only with the exiles in Babylon and has no idea what's happening? No, he fills heaven and earth. The one who declares things by the Lord's name and says, in the name of the Lord, and it's a lie, God sees it. He is witness to it. And he tells his people this so that they will know, so that they will choose to believe his words. We are going to go to chapter 27 now, and we are going to see an example of this. I actually have no idea how long I'm allowed to go for. Does anybody know what time we're supposed to be done? I'm so sorry. This is very unprofessional. Okay, that's great. Thank you. And we're going to go to chapter 27, and we're going to see, we're going to move through this pretty quickly. You can go back and read it on your own. It's all written down here, and I hear all your crinkling, so I know you all have Bibles. So we're going to move through this quickly, but like everything else that we're seeing this week, there's so much meat in these scriptures. There's so much in this book of Jeremiah, and there's going to be so much in this book of Ezekiel. We can't stand up here and get you through the whole thing verse by verse in these little time chunks that we have. Take the time to go back and read this. You have time throughout the day. Read it now so that if there are things you don't understand, we have all these wonderful saints that want to understand this word together. In chapter 27, it says, early in the reign of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Now, if you read this in the King James, it's going to say Jehoiakim. That is just, it shows up in a couple of the manuscripts. I don't exactly know why. I think as we read through this, it's pretty clear that this was during Zedekiah's reign. What we're really focusing on here is the message that's delivered. Don't get tripped up by this one variant. Early in the reign of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord said to me. Make a yoke out of straps and crossbars and put it on your neck. Does everyone know what a yoke is? Again, we are not farmers. It's the thing that you would use to yoke oxen together, or you would use this thing to be in subjection. Basically, you put it on an animal to subjugate them so that you can drive them where you want them to go. Make a yoke out of straps and crossbars and put it on your neck. Then send word to the kings of Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, and Sidon through the envoys who have come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. I wonder what all these countries were coming to Zedekiah to talk about. Maybe they were all trying to get together a revolt against Nebuchadnezzar and come up with a plan to avoid this happening. All these kingdoms have envoys in Jerusalem at this point. Give them a message for their masters and say, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Tell this to your masters. With my great power and outstretched arm, I made the earth and its people and the animals that are on it, and I give it to anyone I please. That's our God, by the way. Now I will give all your countries into the hands of my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I will make even the wild animals subject to him. Is there any other king on earth that can make that kind of claim? Nope. God says, I'm going to make even the wild animals subject to this guy. All nations will serve him and his son and his grandson until the time for his land comes. Then in many nations and great kings will subjugate him. Let's take 1 second and consider a line here. Serve him and his son and his grandson. What was the letter to the exiles? Build houses, have kids, get them married. Sounds like a couple of generations, right? If, however, any nation or kingdom will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, or bow its neck under his yoke, I will punish that nation with the sword, famine, and plague, declares the Lord, until I destroy it by his hand. So do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your interpreters of dreams, your mediums, or your sorcerers who tell you, you will not serve the king of Babylon. They prophesy lies to you that will only serve to remove you far from your lands. I will banish you and you will perish. But if any nation will bow its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let that nation remain in its own land to till it and to live there, declares the Lord. This message is delivered to all these nations that had envoys in Jerusalem. It's also, verse 12, I gave the same message to Zedekiah, king of Judah. So this was extended to Zedekiah at this point. Verse 16 says, then I said to the priests and all these people, this is what the Lord says, do not listen to the prophets who say, very soon now the articles from the Lord's house will be brought back from Babylon. They are prophesying lies to you. Sorry, I just lost my spot here. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and you will live. This message is being delivered, like literally everyone, even other nations at this point. Just serve Babylon and don't listen to anybody who's telling you something otherwise. In chapter 28, it says in verse 1, in the fifth month of the same year, the fourth year, early in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azur, who was from Gibeon, said to me, in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Ooh, this sounds great. I mean, 2 years. We can handle Nebuchadnezzar for 2 years, and then all this is great stuff is going to happen. Verse 5 says, then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah before the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, amen. May the Lord do so. That sounds great. This is the same year. I mean, Jeremiah had just prophesied, like, you have to serve this guy, or everyone's going to be destroyed. And so Hananiah stands up. He's got a great prophecy, and it's from the Lord. The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel. Wow. And he puts a timeline on it and everything. May the Lord do so. Verse 6. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true. So we're all going to know if you're really a prophet or not. Then the prophet Hananiah, so the story goes on, and the prophet Hananiah takes this yoke, because you got to remember in this story, Jeremiah is wearing this yoke as he's like standing there having this, you know, confrontation with Hananiah. And Hananiah comes up in great, you know, showmanship and takes the yoke and he breaks it to pieces. And he declares, this is what the Lord says. In the same way I will break the yoke off the neck of, break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, off the neck from all the nations within 2 years. And this is what I wanted to get to. At this point, at this, the prophet Jeremiah went on his way. God hadn't given Jeremiah words to speak here, so he did not speak. He looked foolish. He probably felt a little absurd. I can't read all that into it because God doesn't record Jeremiah's feelings. What he records is what Jeremiah did, which was he obeyed. He did not speak what he did not have to speak. He went his way. After verse 12, I'll let you guys read that on your own, but what happens afterwards is God does give Jeremiah words to speak. And in verse 13, it says, go and tell Hananiah, this is what the Lord says. You've broken a wooden yoke, but in its place you will get a yoke of iron. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will put an iron yoke on the necks of all these nations to make them serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will serve him. I will even give him control over the wild animals. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you yet. You have persuaded this nation to trust in lies. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I'm about to remove you from the face of the earth. This very year, you are going to die because you have preached rebellion against the Lord. In the seventh month of the same year, Hananiah the prophet died. I wanted to get through the story with you. I'm sorry we went a little bit long. This story is such a beautiful example of we speak what's given to us to speak, and God's word is powerful. It is full of might. And the words of Hananiah came to the grave 2 months later. God's words are powerful. He watches over them to perform them. And now Israel is set to wear a yoke of iron. And that's where David gets to pick up tonight.